nowadays is dragging. Everybody's tired. I never have seen so many tired people in my life. It seems like everybody that I talk to just about these days is just worn out, always wanting to get rest. Of course, you know, I think a lot of that has to do with our diets, what we eat and what we don't eat. I think we're stuffing our bodies with food that's not strengthening, nourishing, or healthy. I think what you do sometimes, you moms and dads, listen to your kids when they get up in the morning. Better still look at them. Better still look in the mirror and see what gets up and see how draggy.
I just don't see how I can make the day.
You don't have to be that way. You just don't have to be that way. People ask me often, Pastor, how do you do it? You never take a day off. You never get any relaxation, what the world calls relaxation. How can you do it? Let me just sort of give you an idea. Sunday morning, I teach my Sunday school class. I'm at the church by about 8 o'clock on Sunday morning. I teach my Sunday school class. I rush right to the office and just change Bibles or something and run back and conduct the service here. And then this evening, I'll teach or be in charge of the evening class at 6 o'clock. And somebody shut the door. Bob, would you tell them to shut the door? That door is staying open back there. I don't know what I'm going to do to keep folks, have the door shut. No one coming in now the doors, please. And keep the door shut in the back. We simply cannot have a service with the interruptions. And I don't know how many times I'll have to say it, but I'll have to go back there myself and shut it. But the door... And no one leaving or no one coming in. Then after I teach the class on Sunday night, or the question and answer period, I preach again. Now, doctors and scientists say, and this is scientifically true, that a 30-minute sermon is, if it's preaching, is as exhausting to the human body as 8 hours of manual labor. Well, as long as I preach, I work about 64 hours a day. But then so the day is Sunday is over, and now that's the hard day for a preacher. So on Monday, nearly every preacher takes Monday off. But Monday morning at 6 o'clock, well, actually about 5:45, I'm up packing, getting ready to go on a trip, take my days off on Monday and Tuesday, preaching. Son, put your bulletin up. Listen to me while I'm preaching. Put your reading stuff up. And I usually fly somewhere. In fact, tomorrow I'll be flying to Los Angeles, California. And I'll be preaching there tomorrow night, working all day on the plane, by the way. Never relax on the... Well, relax, but don't... Well, I work. Dr. John Rice said one time, he said, after I've taken off a few hours, I have to work to relax. And I always work on the plane, writing or dictating letters or planning something and planning some way to spend your money. And so then I preach on Monday night. Usually after the service on Monday night, I counsel until, 10:30, I guess, with preachers who've been expecting me to come to their area and have saved up all their problems and are sure that I can solve every problem they have. And then Tuesday morning, bright and early, up again. Usually I'll preach a minimum of 4 times on Tuesday. Anywhere from 4 times to 9 times I'll speak every Tuesday. In bed by 11:30 on Tuesday night, maybe midnight. Up bright and early Wednesday morning to catch the earliest plane I can catch. Usually 4:30 or 5. I get up. Get the earliest plane I can catch to fly back to O'Hara Field, because I either speak on chapel for one of the schools, or every week just about I teach my class at noon, so I've got to come to O'Hara Field and rush quickly out to the college and teach my class at noon. At 1 o'clock, we have a meeting with the executive committee, and that usually lasts until about 2:30 or 3. And this week, last week I had a meeting of the faculty, and we have that once a month, and then I speak to the high school at 2 o'clock in the afternoon once a month. I got through with that meeting about 4:45, in time to rush back to the church and shave and freshen up just a bit for the 6 o'clock teachers' meeting all Wednesday night. Teachers' meeting ends at 7:15, and at 7:20 we have a superintendent's meeting all Wednesday night. Superintendent's meeting ends at 7:35, and at 7:40 we start the service here, and I speak here. The mail is stacked up, and you wouldn't believe the hundreds and hundreds of letters I get. The mail is stacked up, and all the church business is stacked up, and all the decisions is stacked up. And so Thursday I try to wade my way through. Thursday night, usually some conferences and appointments. And Friday, again, church business and work, and maybe discussing with the staff the problems and the decisions that the staff must make. Friday night, counseling again. All day Saturday, study and counseling. Last night, a deacon's meeting at 7 o'clock and nationwide radio broadcast at 9 o'clock. And then start over on Sunday again. I was figuring out how many hours I work. I average working about 105 hours a week. What is the going rate for preachers' hourly wages these days? $10 an hour? I'll settle for that. And that'd be about $1,000 a week at $10 an hour. Or if I make carpenter's wages, I'd only make about $900 a week. Or if I made banker's wages, I'd make about $50,000 a week. But anyway, that's my life. Now let me say this. Sure, sometimes I get a little tired. But I never get draggy. I never get to the place where I just don't know how I can make the day. You don't know how you can, huh? And when I get to yawning like that, I want to keep on yawning. I'm looking a little draggy all of a sudden. But now, people say, preacher, what's the secret to it? Now, of course, there are some things, such as not overeating, and eating what's right. I never take coffee for a pepper-upper. I'll take a tablespoonful of honey for a pepper-upper. And by the way, it gives you better pep and more real pep. And instead of drinking a glass of Coca-Cola or root beer, I'll drink a glass of orange juice or apple juice. But there's another reason, a great reason. I learned something from Moses. No, I've never seen him, but learned something from him. One day I stumbled years ago across the passage of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 11 that says something about Moses. If there ever was a man in the Bible who was busy, it was Moses. Moses was in charge of 3.5 million people. I only have 18,000. 3.5 million people. More than that, they're all Jews. More than that, half of them were ladies, female. More than that, none of them lived in houses. They lived in tents. More than that, they were on a trip. You ever take a trip with anybody? You sort of find out what they really are like. Take a trip with them. And Moses, busy. If the world has ever known a busy man, it was Moses. Moses, how do you take it? And I learned this in 1955. Moses said he endured. He endured by seeing him who is invisible. Moses, how do you get strength? I spend time with God. Moses, how do you keep from getting weary? I spend time with God. Ladies and gentlemen, now listen to me. There is physical strength by walking with God. There is. The lady stopped me in the hallway during pastor school. She said, when I came to church this morning, it was on Thursday, and I mean, boy, we worked during pastor school. And many of these dear ladies and men were up here before the sun came up. And many of them were here until the sun came up. And the lady came to me in the hallway and she said, Pastor, she said, I feel better than I felt all week. And I said, well, wonderful. What did you take? And she said, this morning, you took 60 seconds and asked me how I felt. I was tired. And you just stopped in the hall, and for 60 seconds, you talked to me, and she said, you're talking to me. Pep me up. More than anything that's happened all week. You'd be surprised what talking to me would do for you. And now, what she meant was this. She was trying to please me. She loves me. She wanted to do what I wanted. She was trying to help me in reaching these preachers and stirring this country and saving this nation for God. And what she was saying was just 60 seconds with the boss. Gave her strength, physical strength. I recall when Rose O'Brien first became our receptionist, she was in the office one day, and I was making my rounds. I go to each staff member and ask if they have any questions and so forth. And I walked in the office, and I had a few grapes in my hand, a little bunch of grapes, and I tossed them on her desk and gave her a few grapes. And she told one of the staff members, she said, Brother Howes is human. Please, don't let that get around. But she said something like, why, it just brightened my whole day. Brother Howes gave me a few grapes. Now, listen, what I'm saying is this. If you will ever learn to spend time with God, you won't be near as tired as you are now. There is a physical uplift. I mean, there is a strengthening, energizing agency when a person learns to walk with God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What's the secret? I'll give you three little points. First is, the secret is to be occupied with Him. Occupied with Him. Secondly, to be occupied for Him. Thirdly, to be occupied by Him. How can you be strong all the time? How can you ladies bounce out of bed in the morning and live for 30 minutes before you get a cup of coffee? Many of you, just like a man on the desert, gotta have water. You barely make it to the coffee cup in the morning. How can you live without it? You know, when I first began preaching, before I found what Moses did, and how Moses could do all he did simply by walking with God and seeing Him was invisible, I used to do one of these, we call it fellowshipping, midnight snackers, hamburger club, French fried onion ring denomination. I'd go preach somewhere, and after the service, they'd say, let's go out and have a bite. And we'd go out and sit there at 1 o'clock in the morning, and we'd gorge our stomachs with McDonald's and Burger Chef and Burger King and Burger Prince and Burger Queen and Burger. And we'd eat and fellowship, and I'd go to bed at 1 o'clock in the morning, and the alarm would go off about 6 o'clock or 5:45, and I'd look at my leg, and I'd say, please move. And my leg would say, I'm tired of moving. I said, then just be still. We'll all go back to sleep. I'd get up in the morning a nervous wreck and so tired I could hardly see my way through, and have to sort of get a grease job before I could get my joints to move, and always tired. That's when you had to take days off. But one day it dawned on me when the service was over, if I'd go to my room and spend some time with God and walk with God for a while and be occupied with God, I could have strength to carry on the task for God and physical energy to live and move and give God more if I'd learned to occupy myself with Him. With Him. Went to Canada Friday afternoon. Was taken to place, preached Friday night. Rushed back to the room after I preached to a crowd Friday night. Before the service, they said, we have a refreshment time planned for you. Coffee and donuts. Refreshment time. Fellowship time. It's really gossip time. I said, I'm sorry, I've got to go to the room. We said, why? I said, I've got some things to do. I've got to account and give account to God. You invited me here to preach, not drink coffee. Service time was over. They said, we're going to have a midnight buffet. Well, I said, enjoy yourself.
Well, why? I said, I've got to go to my room. You say you don't like people. You're not sociable. I am. But I tell you what, most of us drag and are tired and weary all the time or much of the time. But if you just learn, God is the source of life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. God is the life and the light of men. Oh, if we'd just learn when we have some spare time to get along with God and occupy ourselves with God. When I was a kid preacher, I decided to read the biography of every great man I could find. I read the biography of Moody, Finney, Spurgeon, Savonarola, Luther, Calvin, Haldeman, Broughton, Torrey, Edwards, John and Charles Wesley. And there's one thing I found about every great man who ever did something great for God was this. He was considered by his contemporaries some sort of a recluse. He was considered by his contemporaries a man that did not spend a great deal of time chit-chatting. And in every case, these were men who spent time, much time, alone with God. It's still true, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to have physical strength, walk with God. If you want to have physical strength, wait on God. If you want to have energy, abounding energy, you learn to get that energy from the source of all life, even our Heavenly Father. That's where you get it. Occupy yourselves with Him. He's our filling station. He's the one who gives us the energy and the fuel. I'm talking to folks this morning. You haven't waked up a morning this week like God intended you to wake up. Somebody asked John Wesley one time what he did in the morning. He said, I get up at 4 o'clock and pray from 4 to 6. Somebody said, well, I've got too much to do to pray 2 hours in the morning before I start my day. And John Wesley said, I have too much to do not to spend 2 hours with God. Listen to me, folks. If you would listen to me, a lot of you laugh at me and make fun of me because I tell you how to be well and how to be strong and how to have energy. And if you would listen to me, I could help you. If you'll eat right and not eat wrong, and if you have some time, don't spend it at McDonald's at midnight. Get alone with God. See Him who's invisible. Wait upon the Lord. Refresh yourself in His presence. Occupy. Listen. Anybody who's ever known anything about loving another human being knows there is physical strength in the presence of one whom you love. Funny thing. Any of you folks, how many of you have teenage daughters? Would you raise your hand? I'd like to sympathize with you for a few minutes. You ask that daughter to stay up tonight making business calls for you. Ask her. Say, look, I've got some business calls. I want you to call so-and-so, and I want you to ask them if they'd like to buy a certain thing. I've got 40 calls. I want you to take a couple hours and just stay up and make those calls. Dad, Mom, I'm too tired. I'm just worn out. I've had a hard day. But you let the phone ring, and the voice says, is Susie home? And she can get that phone card. Most of these, when you have a teenage girl, you've got to have a card on your phone that's 48 feet long. So she can sit in any place in the house, from the upstairs bathroom to the downstairs basement, and talk to the fella. She can talk to him 2 hours. She bounces up, smile on her face, everything's all right. Why? She was occupied with someone she loved. Oh, if the Christian could have that much sense, would ever learn that walking with God, fellowship with God, occupying ourselves with Him, gives us strength, energy, makes us healthier, keeps us from being weary and worn out and tired. Occupied with Him. How do you take it, preacher? How can you get so much done? Why don't you get tired and weary all the time? Why don't you drag all the time? Number two, occupied for Him. If I cannot be with Him, I want to be busy for Him. One time, I got the idea years ago on Mother's Day.
of having Mrs. Biddy Sunday in our church in Texas. They called her Ma Sunday, as you know, and so I got the idea of changing the name Mother's Day and calling it Ma Sunday. And so I wrote Mrs. Biddy Sunday, and she agreed to come to Garland, Texas, and at the time we rang about 1,200 in Sunday school. We had 2,212 that day. Life magazine came and covered the service. And Ma Sunday came to the Dallas airport, and I got in a traffic jam, was late. She's a big lady. Anybody ever see Ma Sunday? Big, gruff kind of lady. And I got there a little late. She's at Love Field in Dallas. And I said, Ma Sunday? She said, you Jack Hiles? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, you can't be on time. Don't you invite me down here. I said, yes, ma'am. And we got talking. She's a very sweet lady, but boy, she'd put the fear of God in you, too. I've often wished I could see Ma Sunday and Eleanor Roosevelt in a wrestling match. And guess who I'd pull for? But one day I was talking to Ma alone. I said, Ma, Billy didn't have airplanes on which to fly. Billy was gone sometimes in 6-week campaigns or 2-month, 8-week revival campaigns. Did you always go with him? She said, no, I didn't, Mr. Hiles. So I was called Mr. Hiles. No, I didn't, Mr. Hiles. I said, Ma, when Billy'd be gone, how long would he be gone at a time? And you wouldn't even see him once. And she'd say, sometimes 3 months. I wouldn't even see him one time. He wouldn't even spend one day at home for 3 months. Wouldn't even see him for 3 months. And I said, Ma, were you happy? She said, yes. I said, how are you happy? And here's what she said. She said, when Billy was gone, I could not be with him. And so I filled up my time doing something for him. I would wax the floors or clean his closet or mend his clothes. She said, if I could not be with him, somebody had the fellow keep seated back in the back. Quickly, have him be seated. Folks can't see when he's standing up, and this is the third time he's taken off his coat. He's from the home, in Crown Point home, and I'm glad to have him, but he'd have to be seated. And I said, Ma, how do you take it? And she said, I'd always do something for Billy. She said, I'd rather be with Billy. But if I couldn't be with him, I was always doing something for him. I saw a girl the other day. She's waiting in my office. She came 2 hours early to wait. And she had a knitting needle, young lady. She had a knitting needle. And she was sticking that thing through. Sort of a dumb thing to do when you go down and buy a sweater for $9.95. But anyway, she was knitting some socks for her fiancé. He must wear size 84 shoes, I don't know for sure. So that's the biggest sock in the history of the world. Max Palmer could get two feet in them. Girls. And I said, well, what are you so early for? She said, I want to get caught up on my knitting. Why? Well, I'm knitting a pair of socks for my sweetheart. And so after 2 hours, she waited in the waiting room. 2 hours early. I walked in and said, did you get tired? She said, no. I said, why? She said, they're for him. They're for him. Sort of makes you sick, doesn't it? They're for him. Did you know when the Christian falls in love with Christ that much, he'll learn how to get strength? When the Christian can say, dear God, I am going to be occupied with you. But if I can't be occupied with you, I'll be occupied for you. That's one reason I don't get tired so much. That's one reason why I don't get drunk. You know what? This morning when I get through preaching, I won't be any more tired than I was when I woke up. Why? I'm doing something for Him. That's why. And if you obey in your life doing something, occupying yourself for Him, you'll be amazed how much strength and energy you'll get in life. You get tired and you do things for yourself.
You get tired when you do things not for Him. You get tired when you live your life selfishly. If you can ever learn to do two things in your life, you can ever say, I'm going to occupy myself with Him. And when I'm not occupied with Him, I'm going to be occupied for Him. You will find yourself a new person in Christ. You can even cut it down to 14 cups of coffee a day. Number three. By the way, let me just say this. I'd hate to have a cup of black soup to make the day. Huh? I'd hate to have to say, I just can't get started till I have a cup of Maxwell House. Huh? Why don't you get on your knees and pray 15 minutes and see if you don't get some strength? Why don't you get on your face before God and say, dear God, I'm going to occupy myself with You for a while. And the Bible says, that'll renew your energy. That beats caffeine 10,000 to 1. Occupy some of your students. I just can't study. I just always fall asleep while I study. Do it for Him. Do it for Him. Occupy yourselves for Him. Pastor school on Friday. Day and night we'd work. All of us were physically exhausted. People come by and say, Brother Hiles, are you tired? The answer is, no, I'm not tired. Why? I'm doing something for Him. I love Him. I mean, I love Him more than 10,000 sweethearts love each other. I love Him more than 10,000 husbands love wives. More than 10,000 wives love husbands. More than 10,000 children love parents. And more than 10,000 parents love children. I love Him. Why should I be tired? I spend my life occupied with Him and my life occupied for Him. Why in the world should I be weary and tired and draggy? There's strength, physical energy, because I'm occupied with Him and for Him. Number three, this helps some of you stay awake during a sermon even. I help you some, but occupied by Him. Occupied by Him. Did you know when a Christian gets to the place of where he can say, I'm going to occupy till He comes, be occupied with Him as I fellowship with Him, for Him as I do things for Him. But thirdly, by Him. What does that mean? It means He employs me. He's the one that tells me what to do. He's my master. I'm His slave. He's the one who says, do this and do this. Tell what you do. Some of you girls. When Mother says, Gertrude, it's your time to do the dishes. Here's what you say. Every one of you say, oh, bless the Lord, Mother dear. That is true, is it not? At least that's what Linda and Cindy always say. And I'm sure that's what all of your girls say. Bless the Lord, Mother dear. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's been in me. Bless the dishes. What a delightful privilege it is to serve my Mater. No, but there are 4 dozen of you sitting right over here this morning that if you could wash His dishes, oh, that would be divine for the first week or two. Why? Strength. You like to do it. George Bernard Shaw said, happy is the man who makes his living at his hobby. Mickey Mantle once said, happy is the person who makes his living doing what he'd pay to do if he had to. Now, if a person can come to the place in life where he says, I'm going to spend my time occupied with the one whom I love more than I love life itself. I'm going to walk with Him. I'm going to talk with Him. Instead of spending too much time with others, I'm going to spend that time with Him. That person will know something about the source of all energy and all life and the source of all strength because he's learned to occupy himself with the one whom he loves. Why shouldn't I love to be with Him? I enjoy being with Dr. Billy. I enjoy being with Brother Sullivan. I enjoy being with
Dr. Evans. Brother Fisk. Brother Bordway. Why shouldn't I enjoy the presence of Christ? Why shouldn't I delight to get alone for a few minutes and get with Him? Why shouldn't I rush just to be alone? I hate to tell this story, but I think I will. I came in late the other night. One of the girls that lives at our house had one of the boys that she goes with. Well, the boy she goes with. And they were sitting at the kitchen table. And I walked in and I said, "Hey, guess who's here?" They said, "Yeah." I said, "I could come and talk to you for a while if you'd like." They didn't seem very interested in that. I said, "Hey, would you like me to tell you about the time when I walked 5 miles in the snow?" He said, "Yeah, and that was a shortcut, wasn't it?" I said, "Yeah, and on one leg. And at least foot on end." Did you know they went, they weren't interested. And then there I was as a kid, 5 miles to and from school. Snow 44 feet deep. What a story anybody'd like to hear. Unless you happen to have someone you like a lot with you and the person telling the story is an intruder. Well, now, if they like to be together and want to get away from me, does that mean they don't like me? Well, of course it doesn't. They love me. But it just so happens there are times when they'd rather be occupied for me than with me. Does that mean they're mad? No. Make me feel bad? Yeah. What does it mean? It means that though that girl loves me, it means that there's someone with whom she wants to be. And when she's with him, she'd really rather I not be there. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if we could ever get that much in love with Christ? For we could say, "Dear Lord, today I'm going to be occupied with you. But dear Lord, if I cannot spend all my time with you, I'll be occupied for you. I'll be doing something for you. And dear Lord, if I can't be doing something for you, I'll be occupied by you. I'll be your slave. I'll be your master. You be my master. I'll be your slave. I'll obey what you say. I'll do what you say. I'll go where you say go. I'll say what you say. Say I'll be what you say be. I'll be occupied with you. I'll be occupied for you. And I'll be occupied by you. How long shall I do that? Until he comes. Until he comes." Is that what you do? Think about this. Sunday morning, I teach a Sunday school class for him. Sunday morning, I preach for him. Earlier Sunday morning, I have been occupied with him. This afternoon, I'll spend some time occupied with him and his word. Tonight, I'll teach for him. I'll preach for him. Tomorrow morning, I'll go to Los Angeles for him. Tomorrow night, I'll preach for him. On the airplane, I'll be occupied with him. Early in the morning, I'll be occupied. Tuesday morning, I'll be occupied with him. Tuesday morning, I'll preach for him. Tuesday afternoon, I'll preach for him. Tuesday night, I'll preach for him. All week, I'll be occupied by him and employed by him. And Tuesday night late, I'll be occupied with him. Wednesday morning, I'll be occupied with him. Wednesday, I'll do something for him. Wednesday night, I'll be occupied for him. Thursday, I'll be occupied with him and for him and by him. And Friday, I'll be occupied with him and for him and by him. And Saturday, I'll spend time being occupied with him. And Sunday, I'll preach again for him and be occupied with him. How in the world can I ever get tired and weary or draggy? I've learned the secret. You endure by seeing him who's invisible. I'll close with this little story that has some application. A little girl over in South Chicago, her mothers thought it was time that she and her sister, I think it was two sisters, Anyway, the children go to church. And there was, forgive the mention of the word, but there was a Catholic church not far from their home. The little girl went to the Catholic church. She came back home. She went again. She came back home. Her mother asked her to go again. She said, "Don't want to go." Mother said, why don't you want to go?" The little girl said, "Because Mommy said, every time I've been to God's house, God hasn't been at home." She came to First Baptist Church in God's house and found God was home. She got saved, and she and her sister and her mother have all been saved and baptized here, as I understand. You know why? God's home. God's home. God's here. That's why there's life. He's here. That's why there's exuberance. He's here. 24 hours a day, 60 minutes to an hour, 60 seconds to a minute. 365 days a year. You can have endless energy. You can run and not be weary. You can walk and not faint. You can renew your strength. If you will learn this little secret I learned from Moses many years ago, endure by seeing Him who is invisible, or better still, Now to the time we see Him in the air, when Christ Himself shall come with shout of acclamation, be occupied with Him, for Him, by Him. Let us pray.